Really having a beautiful morning in your company. And I tell you, Boniface, brilliant tech as usual. Lovely Naheed coming through on Consciously Connected at the time of the morning where we join our very own Member of Parliament on his segment called Parliamentary Tunes. Ahmad Mansoor Sheikh Imam, the leader of the NFP. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And Ahmad, how are you doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. MashaAllah, they just passed Riversdale from coming from Sitsikama on the way back to Cape Town. But the MashaAllah, they beautiful road. Lovely day, no doubt about it.
Yeah, but so you are driving from Cape to Durban?
No. I'm driving from Sitsikama, which I went to yesterday.
Okay.
And I'm back on the way back to Cape Town.
I got you, because you do a lot of good work with the Khoi people. And what's the update on the Khoi and the Khoisan?
Well, you know, the only issue is that they are very divided among themselves. Many of them claim to be paramount chiefs, direct descendants, you know, and makes it very difficult. But inshallah, I think in time, they will come together as one united nation. And I think it is because of the division that exists amongst them that they haven't made much inroads. However, to some extent, government is recognizing them. They are in discussions on a whole lots of issues. But, you know, ultimately what the Khoi said, the first indigenous nation, is also saying that they want independence as well. Like many others are calling, and the constitution of the country provides for that in any event. But whether that happens, I think it's only a matter of time.
But then you look at them, it's so much like the story of the Red Indians. I mean, what's the population of the Khoisan? I mean, they would not even make a scratch on the population statistics of this country. Am I correct in my assumption?
Well, there is a lot of confusion as far as that is concerned. Whether the so-called, and I don't like to use this term, and I do hope someday we'll remove it from our vocabulary, and that is colored. In fact, every colored, in my view, should be a Khoi. Not every Khoi is a colored, you know. But you get Indian colored, you get white color Khoi, colored Khoi, you know, as the first indigenous nation, the first people that were found here in South Africa when everybody else came. Remember, blacks and Africans generally came from North Africa, East Africa, and then you've got the white settlers came. Everybody came after the Khoisans and found the Khoisans and the first indigenous nation here. But there is all kinds of estimates. Some are talking about 2 million. Some are talking about just a whole couple of 100,000. So, you know, and not every colored person in the country wants to identify themselves as a Khoi. And I don't know if that's anything to do with, if you look at the history of the first indigenous nation, which is the Khoi and the Sand, and how they conducted, they were very, you know, traditional, in their lifestyle. I think so, you know, it's a lot of work still to be done. But I think and hopefully that if this first indigenous nation can come together, they can achieve a lot more.
Well, Ahmad, you make a lot of sense when you talk about, the so-called colored people. But generally, when you have a conversation with them, they will talk more about their white lineage than about the black lineage. Why is that so, Ahmad?
Yeah, even when it comes to the voting, you'll find more of the colored community voting for DA and white organization. I think it's also, remember that the colored community and Indian community, well, they were also marginalized, but they were more privileged than the black community per se. Although we should identify them all as black, but they had more privileges than the actual African black community. And as such, they've aligned themselves. And remember, you've also been indoctrinated into believing only the white person can do better, or there was the superiority complex, which still exists all over the world when you talk about color and when you talk about race in any event. So I think to a very large extent, and also there's been a lot of fear that was instilled in other communities by the white community, particularly, and I won't say the entire white community, because remember, it's not the Afrikaner that brought apartheid to South Africa, not the Afrikaner that created this divide and rule all over the world. In fact, it's the British that were the masters of that. And of course, the Afrikaner just went ahead with it. That's the difference, yeah.
Yeah, Ahmed, and there's a unique situation there in Cape Town, you know, in the colored community. Half of them will be Muslims and the other half will be Christian. But somehow, you know, they work it out. Oh, that's my cousin, but he's a Christian. He goes to that church. And he said, no, that's my cousin, but he's a Muslim. But they live in harmony, Ahmed.
Yes, indeed, there is. Now, let me say this again, Mr. Chairman. If there's anybody that divides us on religion, is if you remember that it's the colonialists that use religion to divide us. And because Islam to a very large extent is a threat, that is why they refer to the Muslims as terrorist organizations. So when you want to go and fight for your rights and take back what is yours, you are a terrorist. Somebody else commits a similar offense, no, he's either a lunatic or he needs to go for mental observation and things like that. But in the main, colonialists have used the religion. And if you see what Putin is saying currently, he is saying we cannot and continue subscribing to the West, who brings in these gay marriages, same-sex marriages, you know, and taking away all our morals and ethics and values, undermining other nations. And that's what he has said in his latest statement. And that is why you need a new world, not the one that is controlled by the West. And that's the direction it appears that they are moving. But remember, there's a lot of prices to pay for that. If you look at now, we've been grey-listed. Russia is also grey-listed. So that was expected in any case. No matter how much they deny that, you understand? I don't believe that we have a major problem in the country as far as funding terrorist organizations. I think we're just in the wrong place at the wrong time. Even being neutral doesn't help these days. You know, so you've got to toe the line with them. Otherwise, they will, as I say before, they dictate the terms. And that is what is happening with South Africa. So I strongly believe that it will be a matter of time. Things will change. And of course, maybe, inshallah, we'll have a better world where there'll be more peace, stability, security, independence. You won't have some nation manipulating the rest of them, dividing them, causing chaos, causing mayhem. And this is what it is at the moment, whether you talk about disease, war, civil unrest. Some of them are enjoying the fruits of it because they benefit out of that. I hope the day will come, inshallah, that we will have a better, more peaceful world, that we can live in a better, peaceful society.
Yes, sir, people, remember Ahmed Mansoor Sheikh Imama had taken the call in his car, but I'm bless him for that, sounding very clear indeed. You know, Ahmed, we get Chief Justice Zondo, and he says Zuma's defiance of the state capture inquiry was a threat to the Constitution. And here we have Zondo talking about Zuma all the time. It seems that they can't forget Zuma, whereas he's a right-hand man, or he's boss now, Cyril Ramaphosa. Is faring worse than Zuma in all aspects, and it seems as if Jacob Zuma was used as a scapegoat to usher in this disorder that South Africa is presently experiencing, because it says America has definitely captured the CR, has captured the thoughts and the minds of the different types of role players here. Even DeRater has been accused of being an agent of America and so forth. What's really going on? There's so many conflicting stories coming around, Ahmed. What's your reaction?
Well, worse than that is what has just happened to the MEC, the Commissioner of Police in Mpumalanga province. It was one of the better performing provinces when it came to the issue of crime. And she's been suspended. And one of the reasons given for her suspension is the fact that apparently she took gifts. But if you look at her suspension letter, it's got nothing to do about gifts. It's talking about her poor performance. But also it is because, and to a very large extent, because she has been arresting politicians for corruption and looting in Mpumalanga province. So there's a whole lot that's going on. If you talk about Chief Justice Zondo, he's not consistent because he should be saying the same thing when it comes to President Cyril Ramaphosa as well. Now he says he may have to recuse himself because of the Section 89 inquiry. And rightfully so, he should, but that doesn't mean he doesn't have enough control over his judges. If you look at some of the judgments, and I'm not undermining anybody, that have been given, leaves a lot to be desired, but it's well known that, you know, the judiciary is in trouble, law enforcement is in trouble as far as that is concerned. Hawks, they talk about is exactly the same thing, especially in unit in SAPS. Government officials is no different. Now the Rater was put in there to deal with the challenges of ESCOM. Now one would expect he's done no different to what President Ramaphosa has been. Remember that when President Ramaphosa was the deputy president in charge of the war room at ESCOM, he allowed deployment and he admitted that because he decided he had a choice to keep his job or get fired. So if he spoke out, he would have got fired. So he chose to save his job. Is that what the Rater did as well? If you know something, tell us who these people are, who these ministers are. But why didn't you tell us when you were there? Because that's what we paid you for. That's what we put you there for. So until such time you wanted to protect your nest, you said nothing. You allowed ESCOM to deteriorate, making all kinds of commitments. Now that you are leaving, you understand, and very conveniently 1 month before you leave, then you want to tell us this. But had you told us this 6 months or a year ago, we could have dealt with the problem then. But, you know, it didn't. So there is a lot of suspicion around. Listen, there is no doubt about it. There is a very great possibility that, yes, politicians, ministers, and we know the history of ESCOM. We know how many people have benefited, even under Zuma as well. And they continue to benefit. I believe strongly what is happening in ESCOM is to a greater or larger extent sabotage more than anything else. That's what I strongly believe. And until you deal with that problem, all the money you can put, you can change the CEOs, you can put a minister of electricity, you're not going to solve the problem. Now, yes, former President Jacob Zuma has been involved in a whole lot of allegations against him. At the same time, former President Jacob Zuma knows a hell of a lot about all the corruption and looting that took place, even with the current regime and the previous ones. He knows everything. Remember, he was in charge of intelligence at one stage for the ANC. So there's a hell of a lot that's actually going on, you know. And but there's no doubt about one thing, and that's the common factor. Whoever has been leading the ANC, it has been deteriorating to the extent that South Africa, one can quite confidently say, is a failed state. South Africa has now failed. We got to pick up the pieces and ask ourselves, what can we do differently to take South Africa forward? If you look at the latest information, in the medium term, we're going to 5.8 trillion rand debt, which means that it's going up so fast that the car stage will come, you won't be able to meet your debt service cost. You know, so these are some of the things that actually I think we're going to have to be very, very careful about. And very importantly, the debt I'm talking about is only talking about national. I'm not even talking about all the local authorities and all borrowers. But the fact of the matter is that the country's got no direction at the moment. I don't believe we are going to go forward anytime soon. The ANC is going to continue defending themselves. If you look at my debate, I pleaded with the president to close the gaps on every bit of corruption starting at local government level. You know, and the president did not even respond. The question is why? He cannot respond because he's closing the doors to his own political party, because that's how they survive. They sustain themselves. So the intention is not there to really deal with corruption. They only deal with it selectively where it suits them. Now that's the problem we are sitting on.
Yeah, Mazima, the activist Ricardo Marmon, he put out a clip on social media where he said that this sabotage thing at ESCOM, it's a drama being played out. He says all these people, starting from Cyril Ramaphosa to Gwed Mantashe, Pravin Gordhan, and Direita, they're only playing a game on the behalf of America. They want to ruin the country. They want to take away the energy. They want to take away the electricity so that businesses cannot flourish or business cannot operate. And the whole country gets into, a ground zero thing, like nothing can happen. So these conglomerates, especially naming America, can come and run amok here, take away all the, reserves that we have, the gold, the diamond, the uranium, the platinum, and the gas fields that we have. Soon we'll have our own oil. All this will go to America, whilst we, you and I, will live in a banana republic, will be living in abject poverty. We will be have to, scringe and scrounge and perhaps eat roots and so forth. How do you respond to Ricardo Marmon?
Hello.
Ahmad, did you hear our question there?
Yes. Let me tell you, there is no doubt about it that there's no doubt about it that the country is currently captured, okay? And the question that you ask yourself is, why is the president not doing anything about even Pravin Gordhan? I mean, look at the SAA. I've raised it time and time again. And, can you imagine, you took your entire fleet of airplanes, you sold it to yourself, and then you leased it back, and nobody's asking those questions. SAA, we just had to give them another bailout of another 1 billion rand. And exactly the same thing as far as ESCOM is concerned. You can't tell me that the minister does not know who is corrupt, what is going on. They know what is going on. And the president is doing very little or nothing about it. Your minister of police, just look at what he's done to the provincial commissioner now in the Mpumalanga province. But the president's holding on to these people. Now, it seems to me that there's just one big cabal here, that all they want to do is loot, and that conducive environment that exists is going to continue because they're not willing to do anything about it. Now, again, even the Minister of Electricity is going to be somebody that they're going to put in place. So even when it comes to us, we are asked to make recommendations. But who decides? The president decides. So for me, it's just about ticking the box, asking us leaders to make a recommendation. Exactly the same thing came with Zondo. We knew a long time ago he is going to be the Chief Justice. We knew that. But just to tick the box, we were asked for recommendations. We gave it. You think that was considered? Not at all. We've seen it where the president will come and give a family meeting on a Sunday. He meets us an hour before. And 15 minutes after the meeting, he's already making a statement. So it means, again, it's just they're doing what they want to do. But this cabal of self-enrichment at the expense of the poorest of the poor is not going to stop, I can tell you now.
Yeah, I'm just going to read a paragraph from Professor Bonke Dumasi. Dumisa, he says that the budget speech presentation by Minister of Finance Enoch Gonangwana was a very successful, pragmatic balancing act where he and his National Treasury team had to take into consideration all the priority areas of the South African economic and human landscape. Do you agree with the Professor Bonke Dumisa there, Ahmad?
Well, let me tell you, there's not much, that came off the budget. Other than, I welcome the fact that there were no increases in fuel levy, road accident fund. They've increased the threshold, which is minimal, to 95,000 before you pay taxes. I really strongly believe, remember, there's only 13% of the people in this country pay taxes. And we've been having a windfall as a result of the Russia-Ukraine war in the country. Okay? and to commodity prices, particularly coal and minerals and whatever it is. And if you want to boost the economy, people need to have more money to spend. More money to spend, so you should put more money into their pockets. Many of these taxpayers are leaving the country, and the skilled people are the ones that are leaving the country. So what should actually happen is, in fact, you should have reduced the tax on that 13% that are paying, so that you could spend more money, and more money would be in circulation. He's never done that as far as I'm concerned. A lot of what they speak about is exactly what the president has said in many sonar. But when it comes to implementation, we know when it comes to infrastructure. He talks about all these water projects, but you're losing 54% of your water to water leaks alone. So what's the point in putting new reservoirs, new water plants? He's talking about the Lesotho project, but most of your water is just getting lost. You're doing very little or nothing as far as that. Look at your state of your roads. Look at the state of your ports. Okay, I see yesterday they want to do something about Richards Bay, because trucks are standing there for over a week. Look at the state of your Transnet and Prasa. Now, South Africa had a factory in Atlanta that used to manufacture the train wheels. What did they do? They sold it as crap, and the town had become like a ghost town. Exactly the same thing with your coal. You're shutting the coal mines. The president made a jump about it, suddenly, I think. You're shutting them out. Hundreds of thousands of people are not going to have a job. What did he say in the State of the Nation, particularly about the private sector, which has a responsibility to create jobs? Nothing. All he's talking about, on the one hand, we want to curtail our expenditure in the public sector wage bill, but at the same time, every job you talk about creating is creating it in the public sector. And you know the unions are holding us to ransom. That's why you have to set aside now billions of rands again to meet the increase in the public sector wage bill. So, and the most important thing is this, you know, the CEO of supply chain said time and time again, we lose in this country about 300 billion rand a year through not getting value for money. But nobody, I've raised it 50 times, nobody is willing to do anything about it. Now, some of those commitments that you need to meet and the promises that were made means we have to borrow again. And like I said earlier on, we are now going to be sitting with a 5.8 trillion rand debt, which means we will get to a stage when we won't be able to pay our debt. Then what is going to happen? So there's nothing for me much. Yes, it was more a balance. They couldn't offer much more to the people. The only reason there's been no increases is because of the windfall and the additional revenue. But let me say this, when I say that, if I had it my way, healthcare workers and police will not pay tax. But let me tell you, the amount of revenue you are losing in this country because of foreign nationals and others that are operating in the country that don't pay tax, yet you want to take the blood out of the bone out of those 13% of people that are paying tax. Why not go and get your house in order to get collect taxes from all these people? And I can tell you, you can reduce the tax burden on ordinary South Africans.
I tell you, Ahmed, you are on fire, F-I-R-E, and I got a message here. Farooq says, I hope there were more MPs like Ahmed Manzoor Sheikh Imam. Definitely, you're unique, Ahmed. Your parting words this morning?
Well, you know, the last thing is, I said, I want to ask you a simple thing, and maybe our callers can tell us. I said to the president in my speech, what is stopping you as a government from every, whichever, wherever you live, in whichever municipality, what is stopping you to address the inequality and what happened during the days of apartheid? Give each South African family, even a single parent family, a piece of land. Divide it now in your local municipality. Identify your people who live there and give it to them. And then over a period of time, you can provide this. At least you'll be giving back to the people their dignity and their identity. What is stopping them? Nothing. They won't do it. Do you know why? Because the more vulnerable people are, they'll still come back and vote. If you give them everything today, people don't need you. That's why they won't do it. But lastly, I want to say that, you know, we are going to go through a very, very difficult time. And as a result of that, you're going to find people are going to want to borrow more and more. Financial institutions are going to offer more. For those people that want to get into small business, there are opportunities that are available to the small business department. The minister has said that time and time again. try to take advantage of that, but don't find yourself. Nobody is giving you anything for nothing. Taking these things because you're going to have to pay back. And if you're going to have to pay back and you cannot do that, you will be blacklisted and you'll run into trouble. So don't just take these things for the sake of taking it. Take it because you have a plan that can really work. But small businesses is the way to go at the moment to create jobs, to turn this country around.
Ahmad Manzoor Sheikh Imam, Jazakallah Khair for being with us this morning. Next up will be Juzza Day. But have a beautiful, lovely day ahead. We talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi.